This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Where people, even in Muslim lands, they want to take American values, and they're not all bad, but the ones that go against Islam, they want them as well, and they see that their way, their values, their culture is the best. And to give examples of the impact of this, or to explain it further, one of our teachers, Sheikh Ja'far Idris, hafizahullah, he said he was in what was back then known as Czechoslovakia, and he was at a gathering that he didn't like, so he left. And he got lost trying to find his hotel room. So he says, I asked this Czech lady to give me directions to the hotel. And she gave me the directions in full Czech. So I told her that I don't understand. She repeated the same directions in Czech, but just slower. And when I told her I don't understand again, he said she hit me and walked away. Why was she frustrated? Her frustration was, why can't you understand me? I spoke to you clearly and slowly. Why don't you understand? Why? Because in her mind, you have to speak Czech. We are guilty of the same thing here in America. When someone doesn't speak English, you know, they're made fun of, or they're told, you know, to leave and so on and so forth. The French are guilty of the same thing. Like, we go to France and we're upset that people don't speak English there. That's ethnocentrism, or a form of it. And then in the French, people refuse to speak any other language. Even if they can speak English, they see French as superior. Or how we see that the British or Indians drive on the wrong side of the road. It's not the wrong side of the road, it's just the other side. Or how English-speaking people see Arabic as written backwards. It's not backwards, it's just the other direction. Or how some people see Europe as a continent, even though it's not a continent. Yeah, and even scientifically, Europe is not a continent. So it became a continent as a result of Eurocentrism, that they saw themselves as so important that a part of Asia became a continent, even though it does not sit on its own tectonic plate or anything of that sort. And by the way, not every country in the world teaches that there are seven continents. Many teach six continents. The point is, how does this affect religion? Our same Sheikh Ja'far Idris hafizahullah, he said, I was at a conference in the UK and it was question and answer time, and someone put his hand up and he said, why is it that we can't eat pork? He said, before I could answer the question, the organizer said, let me handle this question. And he asked that person, he said, why didn't you put your hand up and ask, why can't we eat dogs in Islam? Because you don't live amongst a majority that eat dogs. So you don't question your own values against the values of the majority. But because you live amongst people that eat pork, you start to question yourself, your own values, and say, why can't we eat pork? Because everyone else is doing it. So you start to see their way, their value, as correct, or maybe there's nothing wrong with it, and you start to question your own values in light of that. In the same way, and this is perhaps the bigger point of the khutbah, when someone asks you, why is it that your Prophet married a young woman, meaning Aisha radiallahu anha, and even some Muslims are very confused about this issue. Why did your Prophet marry a young woman? And this also is part of what is known as presentism. And presentism is when you project the views of the present onto the past. Or another definition is the tendency to interpret past events in terms of modern values and concepts. So you believe your values are so correct that you have the right to travel 1,400 years back in time to another part of the world and say, why didn't they back then have the values that we have today? So how do you answer the question of the age of Aisha? When someone asks me, why is it your Prophet married a young girl? The first question in response is, how old would you have liked her to be? And no matter what number they give you, they're now in trouble because they have no evidence to support their number. One of the things, most likely they'll tell you 18. If they tell you 18, why 18? How did you come up with this number 18? Is there anything in biology that says 18 is the best age to get married? Because if you go to biology, you're going to be destroyed. Because as far as biology is concerned, once the girl reaches menses, that means she's able to have children. If she's able to have children, she could get married. biologically. Then there's also the psychosocial maturity. That's another topic. But the question is, why 18? And for those who are interested, how the West came up with this number 18, there's no study behind it. Not in psychology, not in biology, nothing. One of the things is that Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, or the Greek thinker, he said, and for no reason, with no backup or research to support this, he said that a girl reaches, or a woman reaches the peak of her life at the age of 18. And the male reaches the peak of his life at the age of 37, or something, 37 or 38. No evidence, no science behind it, but just magically throw out the number 18, which most people accepted. So when they told, when you ask them what age would you have liked her to be, if they say 16, ask them why. If they say 15, ask them why. If they say 19, ask them why. And they will not have any reasoning besides our society accepted that number. And the sad truth is, it is not the number in America. And in most states, with the exception of a few, yes, 18 is the age when you can marry yourself off. But it's not the age when you can get married. The age when you can get married varies from one place to another. In the state of Massachusetts, it's 12 years old, meaning if your parents sign off or a judge signs off, you can get married at age 12 here in America and in the state of Massachusetts. In Alaska and Vermont, you have to be 14, or you can be 14 and get married. In Mississippi, it's 15 for girls and 17 for boys. 22 states have the age of 16 as the minimum age. Rhode Island has 16 for girls and 18 for boys, and so on and so forth. So no one ever said that 18 is when you can get married. Even your culture, your values, your law says you can get married under that age as long as parents or some judge signs off. So the issue is, there is no science behind any number that anybody puts out. If you want to use strict science, biologically, when a girl reaches menses, she can get married. But that only is the biological side. But then there is the psychosocial maturity. So then the question is, if the girl is psychosocially mature, yani mentally mature, then what is the objection to her getting married? Now, we're not arguing this point, because we don't believe a girl at age 11 should get married today. Why? Because the world has changed so much that she needs years and years of schooling in order to be able to understand this world that she lives in. And also, there is a lot of immaturity until the age of 20-something, possibly she could still be playing with toys and what have you. So we're not arguing that. We're just saying, you're saying your culture is so correct that you want to go back in time to another part of the world and question them and say, why didn't you follow the values that we have today in the 20th century? That's our argument. But even until recently in the Western world, young girls were getting married. In 1880, 37 states in the US, the minimum age was 10 years old. And 1880 is not that far along. In the 1200s and 1275 in England, the minimum age of marriage was 12 years old. And historically, even the stories that are famous, Romeo and Juliet, were written about, you know, young teenagers as well, 14 or 15, something like that, or 15 and 13. Some of the queens of the past were aged 13 when they got married. Some statesmen in Virginia were married to 12-year-olds. So the point is that even in your culture, even in your recent culture, that was acceptable. And then suddenly something changed where it became unacceptable. But you think you are so correct that you have the right to go back and question every other nation on earth and every other time period on earth. So the point is that do not be taken or scared when someone asks you, why did your prophet marry a young girl? Because we have a lot of arguments for that we'll look for in the second khutbah, inshallah. But the point is that to not immediately start to apologize, but to question, why are you questioning that? And what age would you have liked? And you have no evidence to support that age or that random number that you generate. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. By the way, part of the pressure for this magical age 18 has led a lot of Muslims and speakers to claim that the age of Aisha was 18, and conveniently 18 also when she married the Prophet ﷺ. But in order to accept that age, you have to ignore a lot of authentic narrations showing that she was playing with toys and so on and so forth. But the point is that the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ, they're waiting for any mistake to highlight, to hold against him. Have you heard once that they said, look, he married a young girl? Because it was something acceptable in their society. Likewise, Aisha radiallahu anha was already spoken for. Yani she was already engaged when before the Prophet ﷺ, or a matchmaker came on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ. So that means it was something very common. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, towards the end of his life, when he is older, he marries a very young daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Kalthum. That means there was nothing wrong in those societies. It was acceptable. And even today, in some nomadic and, for lack of a better term, primitive societies, a 12-year-old will marry a 14-year-old because they've understood their world. They live in the jungle, they live in the desert. They understood everything there is to understand about their world. Who is to oppose that marriage? Or why would a Westerner come and interrupt the wedding ceremony and say, this is not acceptable for us in Europe, or not acceptable for us in America? So, and of course we have other things, but these are evidences for the believer. Like we know in the authentic hadith that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet ﷺ with the image of Aisha, and he said in a dream, and he said, this is your wife in this world and in the next. And Aisha radiallahu anha remained alive for 56 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, teaching people the religion of Allah. For 56 years, and even, and 54 years after the death of her father, she had over 50 years to complain about the marriage to the Prophet. If she thought she was too young, she had 50 years with her father not there and her husband ﷺ is not there to complain about that, but it never happened because this was something that was acceptable in that time period and in that part of the world. And it is once again not correct, not fair, and purely ethnocentrism that someone would want to question that based on the values that people have chanced upon today. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory to the Palestinians. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to purify and free Al-Aqsa, and to purify and free the land of Palestine. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us the pleasure to see that during our lifetime, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم انصر من نصرهم واخذل من خذلهم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give victory to those who have given them victory, and to destroy and defeat and abase and humiliate those who have abased them and humiliated them and betrayed them. From our leaders and political leaders and otherwise, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.